Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, we're all resigning ourselves to the supply chain and labor shortages due to COVID, but nurses at St. Luke's Hospital in Duluth say their staffing issues aren't necessarily for the reasons you may think.
Yes, that's true. A few weeks ago at St. Luke's intensive care unit in Duluth, it was nearly impossible to find an available bed for a patient. And while patient volumes have decreased slightly since then, there is still a critical shortage at the hospital for staff. The main reasons that they're giving for these shortages are early retirements, staff leaving the field due to burnout, and other nurses choosing to work as travel nurses instead. And travel nurses are typically paid high rates because the contract process is extremely competitive. And many small healthcare organizations can't compete with large organizations that can afford to pay higher wages. One of the biggest struggles, the most recent COVID surge in hospitalizations, is that other emergent conditions, including strokes, injuries, surgeries, and other patients needing intensive care, do not stop. If at any time there was a vacancy at St. Luke's, the healthcare system was receiving patients from other Northland hospitals, the Twin Cities, and other areas in greater Minnesota. In addition, patients from the Dakotas, Wisconsin, and Michigan's Upper Peninsula have also been treated in Duluth.
Well, Danny, if we can look at labor shortages on the Wisconsin side for a minute, Governor Tony Evers isn't ready to call out the troops just yet.
No, he's not. On Wednesday, he said that almost 300 healthcare facilities in Wisconsin have asked for staffing assistance, which is prompting them to instead request 100 workers from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to help out. And this has already happened in Minnesota, and Governor Waltz has called in hundreds of National Guard members to assist. But Evers here in Wisconsin said he's not looking to do any mass deployments of the Guard. He says that they're already stretched thin, but some Guard members are going to be trained as nurses to help state mental health facilities. And in the meantime, you know, hospitals in the area, like what Rick was saying, you know, they're continuing to see cases rise and hospitalizations rise, and it's putting an extreme strain on staffing. In Douglas County, health officials have reported more than 200 new cases of COVID-19 in the last 2 weeks. And Bayfield County said that 1/6 of the deaths that they've seen during the pandemic occurred in November. So it's not a good situation right now. The state's hospital association says there are still no intensive care beds available across northwestern Wisconsin. And while we haven't hit the kind of levels that we saw last November, December in Wisconsin, it's still putting an enormous strain on staff because, of course, people have left, like Rick was saying, you know, either to work at these nursing agencies or just, you know, leaving the profession altogether because of burnout.
All right. Well, back to you, Rick. You've got a Christmas story that has a criminal twist to it.
Yes, it does. That decorative pot of evergreen and birch outside your front door may have been cut illegally by a felon out for drug money. Acting on a tip that somebody was cutting and stealing spruce treetops on state forest land without any permit and without paying for the trees, Minnesota conservation officers recently discovered that thieves had cut well over 1,000 of these tiny little Christmas trees, these spruce treetops, valued at more than $1,000 for the cutters, and likely 10 times that when these spruce tops get to stores across the U.S. where they are sold as holiday decorations. Now, these decorations might include some illegally cut birch poles as well. This kind of illegal cutting of spruce tops and birch poles has been happening across Minnesota and Wisconsin forests for a while now, but recently law enforcement officers and court documents show more people committing the forest thefts are longtime criminals. Some have felony records, including violent crimes, and several have records for crimes related to methamphetamine. In late 2020, 17,000 spruce tops were illegally cut from one location. Officers say it's not just a matter of cheating taxpayers or private landowners out of their rightful payments for the trees, but the illegal activities make it a mess in the woods and can disrupt forest regeneration, causing long-term ecological damage.
Well, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but how do I know if I'm buying a tree that it is certified as a legal tree?
That's a very good question. Once these trees get out of the forest, they are very hard to track. The conservation officers really have to catch them in the act before they make off with these spruce tops.
All right. Well, Danny, you've got an environmental story that's a little less criminally involved. In fact, there shouldn't be any crime element to it at all. But it does illustrate how global issues do affect us locally, or at least the local visits of one of our songbirds.
Yeah, and there's also a tie to trees here, but, you know, conservation...
Well, I thought so. Yes, birds do tend to frequent trees, but go ahead. Yes.
But conservation biologists are hoping to prevent further decline of the Connecticut warbler because its range has shrunk more than 80% in Wisconsin during the last two decades. The gray-hooded, yellow-breasted bird, which is often hard to spot because it likes to stay hidden in black spruce swamps and jack pine stands across northern Wisconsin. But state regulators and volunteers went looking for them, and they couldn't find any sign of the birds at nearly 60 sites that they surveyed this past summer. And, you know, beyond Wisconsin, this bird has declined more than 60% across its range since 1966. And it's not the only species in trouble. You know, research has shown that North America has lost 3 billion birds over the last 50 years. But scientists say the Connecticut warbler is facing threats from development and habitat loss and climate change, not only in Wisconsin, but also in its wintering grounds in the Amazon, where deforestation hit a 15-year high this year. And climate change is putting pressure on the bird because it's shifting forests further north. So now the DNR and partners are going to work to try and improve and build on the remaining habitat in the state, which is basically the small portion of Douglas and Bayfield counties.
Well, just to again illustrate how global and local go together, as you said, it's the Connecticut warbler, but it does frequent both our area and the Amazon, so it gets around. We have a clip of the song of the Connecticut warbler, courtesy of the Cornell Bird Laboratory. And if you hear it, you can contact the DNR or your local birders. We've been listening to the Connecticut warbler and speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at DuluthNewsTribune.com and WPR.org. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Ryan Frayn. Stay safe, everyone.